This was a matter of life or death. Eddie left his car by the side of the road and walked slowly over to the small group of road workers standing near a large bush. It was too early in the year yet for the bush to flower, but Eddie knew this bush well. Was there work planned for the road? Yes, the crew confirmed. And what would happen to that bush they were standing next to? It would be cut down, they said. No. Eddie couldn't let them do that. That was a fairy bush. A hawthorn. You're listening to Plant Connection. Life today can feel overwhelming, like we've drifted away from its natural rhythm. This podcast is your space to slow down, breathe, and rediscover the peace and clarity that come from reconnecting with the natural world. I'm your host, Lisa Cutshaw. Let's reconnect, one plant at a time. Hawthorn may be a little different than the trees we've talked about so far in this series. It isn't a touchy-feely plant, and by that I mean it wouldn't be an easy plant to get touchy-feely with. I suspect how you feel about hawthorn may have a lot to do with how you first interacted with it. If you made its acquaintance by getting tangled in its thorns, you may not be a huge fan. If you met it as a beautiful flowering tree like I did, you probably love it. Because the common name hawthorn gives some big clues about what it looks like. It can have some monster thorns, depending on which species or variety you're looking at, anywhere from 1 inch to 2 inches long or even more. The haws in question are the fruits. They appear in September or October, which most of us would describe as either big bluish-purple berries or red or yellow. They can be quite variable. And they can be used in jams if you want to fight the thorns for them. Another name sometimes used for the fruits is thorn apple. So these are all general statements because there are at least 100 species of hawthorn around the world. And I say at least because some taxonomists recognize up to 500 species or more. You can take from that it can be tricky to tell one species from another. But it's fairly easy to tell if you're looking at a hawthorn. Some member of the genus Crataegus. For wildlife, they can offer fantastic habitat opportunities. Because of the thorns, small birds and mammals can make homes in a hawthorn thicket where larger predators are unlikely to try to reach them because of the thorns. Depending on which species you're looking at, it may start flowering as early as April or as late as June. And the clusters of white flowers are a sight to behold. They really are beautiful plants. Come the height of fall, the leaves can turn yellow or orange, or more rarely red or purplish. Even after the leaves fall, the tree can be a beautiful specimen, often with multiple stems going off at interesting angles. That's something that, as landscape designers, we tend to call a four-season plant. It's something that's always interesting to look at. So this is a great option to include in your garden, though you may want to think about one of the named varieties that offers fewer thorns. We'll come back to those in a bit. Unlike the other small trees we've discussed, hawthorn tends to prefer full sun. Because it tends to form thickets, it can start to take over a secondary succession field pretty quickly. Here in the Blue Ridge Mountains, it can be one of the first plants that starts to colonize a grassy bald once that grassy bald starts to be forested. Now, as you might expect, the fruits have a long history as a food source, and they can even be steeped to make tea. Many Native American tribes have a deep relationship with hawthorn, drying the fruit for use in winter, and using the thorns themselves as tools, especially as awls to help in sewing leather. As an herbal remedy, the flowers and fruits have been found to help strengthen the heart, open up arteries, and lower blood pressure. They've also been found to strengthen ligaments and other connective tissues. So, as a plant that has a long history of being culturally important, science is finding reasons for why this really is an important plant. Its famed uses over the years are really true. The thing is, even though modern-day Americans may not immediately think of hawthorn as a meaningful plant, if we look at European cultures, they can have a huge amount of cultural meaning. For the Celts, hawthorn was a sacred tree. In that case, we're probably talking about Crataegus monogyna, that's the Latin name, not the Gaelic one, which is native across northern Europe. According to some sources, hawthorn was sacred to a Welsh goddess named, I hope I get this right, Blodeuwedd, whose sacred time was the month of May. Hawthorne bushes were decorated for the holiday of Beltane on May 1st, and they're supposedly protected by the fairies. One of my grandmothers was born and raised in Ireland, and even to her, it was serious business to disturb a hawthorn. It just shouldn't be done, for fear the fairies would take revenge. If you've ever heard of the Irish custom of the Clwydi tree, that's another example of Celtic practices extending into modern day. We might call it a wishing tree. A common way to go about it is to tie a strip of cloth to a tree while asking for healing of some ailment. I've heard of more abstract types of healing being requested too, such as for a broken heart. The fact that hawthorns were often in flower in May, in time for May 1st celebrations, led to another common name, Mayflower. I never realized until researching for this episode that a name common to many ships, including the one that landed at Plymouth Rock, was actually referring to hawthorn. If we take it a little further, we find that hawthorn was considered to be both used by witches and able to protect people from witches. This seems to have been a common belief in England centuries ago, where hawthorn branches would be laid in the rafters of a house to keep negative spells from affecting the people inside. So as you can see, hawthorn has had a huge effect on people and culture for millennia. It's funny how this tree in particular gained such prominence, more than, say, crabapple or cherry, which also tend to bloom in mid-spring. In practical purposes, the hawthorn actually did farmers a huge service in helping them keep cattle inside their fields. As one of the foundational plants of traditional hedges in the UK and France, the dense growth and massive thorns made it difficult for livestock to break through the hedges. If they are maintained, the hedges can survive indefinitely. One hedge in England was believed to have been planted in 1075, so they really do last a long time if you take care of them. Hedges were used as field boundaries to contain livestock in the American colonies too, though both George Washington and Thomas Jefferson tried to include Cretigus monogyna with no luck. Turns out it doesn't like the hot climate of Virginia. But Washington was able to grow Cretigus phenopyrum, a U.S. native hawthorn. We know it today as Washington hawthorn, though it doesn't appear to have been named directly for the president, rather for the city of Washington, D.C., which was named after the president. So yeah, nuance is important, I guess. I like the idea that some trees are considered sacred, that they aren't to be cut down even if a farmer needs to plow his field or a town needs to build a road. Talk about reciprocity and holding space for a plant ally. The tree is protected from human destruction, and in return, it offers healing and protection. Now don't tell me it's all superstition, because it's clearly not. We know the tree offers healing for heart problems, and as for the rest, who knows what a tree can do that we haven't proven yet. In any case, the power of belief is strong, even when it's just a placebo effect. So you'll understand why, when Eddie was standing on that roadside in County Clare, Ireland, he knew very clearly that he couldn't allow that hawthorn to be cut down. It was a fairy bush, known locally as the place where Munster fairies would meet Connaught fairies to settle arguments. Allowing the bush to be cut down could bring tragedy to the crew that did it, people of Clare who allowed it, and possibly even the drivers who used the road. Eddie believed there was great danger in allowing this to happen, so he spoke to the transportation engineer designing the road and to the officials doing the planning. He even considered filing a lawsuit, but in the end he didn't need to. Once the bush was surveyed and located on the plan, the designers found they could save it. The details are a little tough to pin down. Depending on which newspaper article you read, either they rerouted the road slightly to give the bush a wide berth, or the bush was never in the path of the road to begin with, and they just built a fence around it as a precaution. Another popular detail of the story says the road construction was delayed for 10 years because of the hawthorn. But other sources say that's a myth. It was spring of 1999 when Eddie first saw the road workers and asked them about the shrub. I don't know if road building in Ireland takes as long as it does in the U.S., but over here, road construction schedules seem to be purely aspirational. I could easily believe the hawthorn was just a good excuse for why it was taking so long to finish the road. But that's just me. Still, it's not the only example of a road being diverted to save a hawthorn in Ireland. Wikipedia alone lists four more examples, along with others where the destruction of a fairy tree brought disaster. So what's wrong with showing respect for a tree? One your culture and possibly you personally hold in high regard. I'm glad to live in a world where such respect is still shown. It doesn't need to stem from superstition. Tradition is good enough. So what if you do want to include hawthorn in your garden? Well, there are three species, I'll say, here in the U.S. that are often planted in ornamental settings. One is Crataegus viridis winterking, and winterking is the variety of that very pretty plant and often touted as one to use if you do want four-season interest, something that's going to be pretty and interesting every season of the year. Another option is the same one that George Washington had luck with, Crataegus phenopyrum. There are quite a few varieties of those out there, easy to find in nurseries. And the third option is Crataegus cruscalli varietas inermis. And that one, especially if you have kids or you have a location where people are likely to get close to it often, is probably the best bet. Reason being, as with almost anything with the word inermis in it as a scientific name, it's got few thorns. It's intended to be a thornless variety. Now you may still get a thorn here or there, but it's not going to be covered in the kind of vicious overall covering of thorns that some of the species have. So those are three options. I actually don't have one growing in my garden yet, and I haven't pinned down exactly which one I'm going to choose. I do have a young child, so I may go with inermis, but we'll see. In any case, whichever variety I choose, I think I'll make it a tree that I make a point of showing respect to. I'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me on this journey back to nature with Plant Connection. If this episode resonated with you, be sure to tap subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss the next episode. See you next time.